Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! King Shazir the Turbo! I rise from King Shazir the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
I get no doubt.
to Phil the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. As old King says, it's terrible. Must have been the IRS stuff that got it. But, you know, right before I was sitting there getting ready to listen to Mitko and everything, and I get the old intrusion alert, and bam, my computer gets blapped again. You almost got to laugh at it, man. You know, if I'm disturbing the government officials that bad where they got to hack my computer and shut me up, you know, and, you know, it's like old childish. Back in the old days when they used to only have, like, 286s, 386s, 486s, way before the Pentium classes, and then when they finally got up in the Pentium classes right at the very beginning, they were able to send a boot code across to you, you know, email bombs, instant message bombs that would overload your processor and shut you down. You know, that's the kind of way they did it back in the day, and nowadays I'm not exactly sure what code they're using, but I get a warning right before it happens on my Panda antivirus. It pops up, intrusion alert, and then next thing you know, my computer jacks, and then I'm offline. But as you heard, I played the song there for the IRS guys or whoever it was that didn't like me talking about the IRS. You know, I get knocked down, I get back up again. That's that song by Tub Thumping, so y'all should get you a copy of that, you know. That way, if you're on your show and you're a host doing a radio show and they come on doing an intrusion alert and knock you out too, then you can come back on and, you know, just kind of giggle in their face, that kind of stuff. You know, I'm just so well past the point of even trying to get mad about it. It's just a every time occurrence, you know, you get on a certain subject they don't like you talking about, and they're going to show you, man. Yeah, they showed me all right. I'm back, Jack. How you guys doing, man? Sorry about that.
Oh, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, just don't talk about the IRS or the missing emails or anything like that, because they don't like that kind of stuff. You pointing out the fact that there's copies of those emails all over the freaking internet, you know, and cookies and cake and all that kind of stuff. I'm just waiting for it to happen again.
If it is, then so we'll do your job.
Huh?
If we piss them out, we're doing our job, right?
Oh, yeah, I agree, brother. And then, apparently we're doing a good job then, because, like I said, man, I watched it. I saw it getting ready to happen, and I'm like, you're right in the middle of talking, and I'm like, here we go. Oh, man. Yeah, like I say, you almost got to laugh at it, man, because, you know, they got nothing better to do than mess around with us trying to talk about the, you know, world, making the world a better place. But it's blatantly obvious. I'm not the only host that has this problem, you know. And if you even go out there, if you got a YouTube channel out there, you'll know that certain subjects are like taboo. You put them out there, and either YouTube's going to blop them off, or, you know, somebody's going to do whatever to get that video off, because they don't want you saying certain things in this world, man. But we're going to say it. I mean, are you guys going to stop saying what you need to say?
Of course not. If somebody stops us from saying it, well, then I'm just going to raise my voice and say it a little louder.
Yeah, I'll write it on the wall, man. Put it on the side of one of them boxcars down by the train station, you know, and be like one of, you know, they spray paint art on there, and they tag the car, and it goes, you see one coming all the way from New York or something like that, and such was here, and, you know. Anyway. Well, we were talking about Father's Day. We were talking about the ignorance of the IRS. Oh, we lost our email. Our computers crashed. Boy, if you owed them a bill, you know, and the computer crashed, heck, they'd have it backed up right instantaneously. So they must think the American people are stupid or something, you know. You know, if the government doesn't back up their stuff, then something's really wrong with that whole issue. And then, you know, for a fact that when you send an email, whether it be from a government computer to another government computer or even to, you know, a civilian computer, there's copies of that on every single server, man. You know?
Yes.
So, tell me they can't find that those emails. They just don't want people knowing, saying, hey, yeah, man, go investigate that conservative group over there, because we don't want them to vote for somebody, or we don't want them to get somebody elected or whatever. You know, that's the kind of stuff we, the people, have to contend with. It would be really funny if it didn't have such a serious consequence. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm thinking, that's why they mess with this old crazy wild-haired science guy called King Shaziz the Terrible. Because, you know, I'm out here saying it. I don't care. I ain't saying nothing to you guys they wouldn't say directly to their face if the tax man was standing right here. And he said, I'm going to audit you, man. I said, well, look, come on, brother. I got like a whole sack full of receipts. They're not necessarily in chronological order, so you're going to have to figure that one out on your own. It's going to take you several years, but hey, there it is.
Take him running through one of them card shufflers just to make his job that much more fun.
Yeah, well, I don't even have to do that because I never even put them in by date or anything like that. I just shoved them in a bag because they said, you might want to keep these for like 7 years. And I thought, all right, well, throw them in this bag over here. So it's hard telling which one's which, and I've dug through them a few times to look for certain receipts, and I couldn't find a receipt myself if I tried. So if I can't find it, the tax man's going to have fun. I don't care. They asked for the information. I presented the information. It's all there. It's in that bag somewhere. Keep digging. Meanwhile, I'm going to go out and mow my lawn while you're working, brother. What do you think?
Yeah, sorry, Dublin's trying to get back in, but he's completely disappeared off of the, there he is. Sorry about that.
Sometimes he's on Honest Abe's used Wi-Fi service, you know. I hope he gets in here, though. But, yeah, that's what happens. If it happens again, then, you know, I'll come rolling back up again. It, you know, kind of chops my podcast in half and all that kind of stuff. Luckily, we were just right at the beginning, you know. So maybe I should have saved the whole cracking on the IRS thing till towards the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now they're going to be listening, just waiting for an excuse to get in there and do that again.
Yeah, so, hey, well, I got the sacrificial computer up in the other room. Hopefully that'll kind of slow them down a bit.
I was actually just talking to Mikko. Too bad Remy wasn't online, because I noticed things tend to run a lot smoother with that lad on.
Yeah, we just got to get his bleep button oiled up, man, because he kind of dropped a bleep or two on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
That's about to give me a heart attack, man. So for any guests that come on the Knights of the Round Table or any of the shows here on Awake and TCT and No Borders and all that, please be respectful of the language deal, you know. You don't have to drop the F-bomb to get your point across. Trust me. Anyway, moving right along. Happy Father's Day to all the IRS guys out there. What do you think?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm sure they got kids, too, and they're great, loving parents. So, happy Father's Day, guys.
Yeah, their kids probably got a Kool-Aid stand, and when the other neighbor kids come up there and buy their little 5-cent Kool-Aid or lemonade or whatever, they say, that'd be like $50 worth of tax there. And they're like, what? Are you kidding me? Well, yeah, my daddy works for the IRS. He told me what it's all about. I got to get some tax money. We got to pay for roads and stuff. Seriously? Come on, man. I was driving down the road the other day, and all of a sudden I hear this BAM! And I hit this chuck hole. I looked over at my wife, and I said, yep, baby, my tax dollars put that hole in the road. Oh, man. It's almost so ludicrous. It's just hilarious, man. I mean, these guys up there, they lie so much. And so, you know, since we're about seeking solutions, my solution to the world, whenever those guys just walk away from them and laugh in the face of adversity, because if you don't, life will get you down, man. It just isn't worth it, because they're not going to change what they're doing. I don't even give them the chance to give me any kind of authority over me, you know. So I just stay away from it. stay away from the system, create my own system, come out here, talk to y'all guys and gals, and put my videos out, and just stay out here in the country and grow tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that's the best way to do it. If you can do it, do it.
Fortunately, I'm stuck right in the city, but hopefully that'll change one day.
Well, if you got the will, then there is a way, brother. And even out there in the city, you could still find ways around the system. You know, plant your little window garden or something like that. Grow you some vegetables hanging out the window or something like that. You know, or whatever. There's all kinds of alternative things that you can do even if you're down in the city. Hide your garden in the dumpster or something. I don't know.
Well, they haven't got too fond of people here about growing vegetable gardens yet, so...
Well, I like the whole guerrilla gardening thing, man, where you go out there and just plant gardens everywhere. So there's like watermelons on one side of the fence and some, you know, like tomato plants and potatoes and all kinds of stuff growing everywhere, you know.
Just free for everybody to come up and take their choosing.
Yeah. Shoot, people like watermelon. I don't like cantaloupe. Some people do, but I don't. You know, personally, it's just I don't like the taste of cantaloupe, but I'll still plant it because I know that there's people out there that do like it. You know, cantaloupe or mushmelon, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
Anyway, that's just the way life is, though. You know, these guys out here, they're supposedly the representatives of the world. They're not doing a very good job. They're trying to get us back into more wars and bomb this guy and bomb that guy. And as long as they got the tax revenue to afford it and the Congress and the Senate's allowing them to spend the money, they're going to keep on doing it. So the only solution to that is find your way out of the tax system, you know. Become self-employed. And, you know, if they say you can only make so much a year before you have to pay taxes on that funds or whatever, then stay down underneath that level and find out an alternative means by which to pay for things, you know? What do you think?
That'd be a good idea. I'm not sure exactly sure how all that, the political system and the taxes and all that run up here. I could never be bothered with it. It seems like too much of a headache to even want to start looking at, so...
Well, the tax code over here, I guess it's about as high as a two-story building because, from what I understand, not even the tax guys know all the laws that's crammed in
there. it probably changes on the daily basis just to cater to the needs of...
Throw me a loophole, brother.
Yeah.
But the corporations seem to get it figured out pretty good because they're still making billions of dollars. I always wondered... You know, how can those guys stay in business if they're getting taxed like the average Joe, you know? But apparently they get tax breaks for helping the average Joe. Really? When's the last time a corporation's really helped you out, man? Anytime?
No, I can't think of any time.
I can't either, man. I can know that whenever I go to stores like Walmart or whatever, you know, that I know that there was a middleman or two in between there. And so whenever I go buy a product there, I know there's going to be at least a 300% markup on that item.
Yep.
So I would like to just go directly to the guy making it and say, hey, you know, I could use a few of those over there. How much you want, you know? But, you know, they must have worked a deal with the devil saying you got to buy, you know, like a large quantity or else we won't sell them to you. Because have you ever tried to figure out where certain products come from and then try to buy direct from that company? That's a hard thing to do, man. Stores aren't going to tell you where they buy their merchandise at. So, you know, you got to be a good researcher, I guess. Find out where the factory is. Go directly to the factory and buy it from them.
Wait till the shipments come in and then follow the transports back or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's what we need. We need a network. We need a network of spies, you know, so we can play that spy versus spy game with them. So whenever, if you want to know where a certain product comes from. Do just like Tom said, and you know, have your friends on each corner, and yeah, the truck just went this way and then went that way, and then finally gets down to where, yeah, here's the address. Yeah. And then everybody
most
show up.
Most people will be shocked that they find out how cheap and easy it is to make something like an iPhone or a computer.
Well, yeah, but by the time we get it, I don't know how much iPhones in your neighborhood cost, but by the time we get it, we're looking at a couple hundred bucks. But, hey, you know, they'll give them to you for free as long as you sign a 2-year contract, so you're actually paying for that phone anyway.
And, yeah.
And phone price.
Actually, while we're on this iPhone thing and you're talking about that, they give them to free. I actually had a couple years ago saved up a little bit of cash there, and I actually went around to all the different places, even the Apple dealer themselves, and they list the price of the phone for like something like $600-$700, and just for something to do, I went in there, and I knew it wasn't going to work, but you know, I waved the money right in their face, slapped them a couple times with it, and said, hey, I'd like to buy that, and they started bringing out the paperwork. Well, no, this is how you got to do it, and this and that, and I was like, well, you know, you're advertising it for this much. I got this much right here, but you can't sell it to me. Like, what's going on there? I actually found it pretty amusing.
Yeah, unless you sign this contract, we ain't gonna sell you one. Ain't that some sort of form of discrimination, man? You know, I got cash.
I think.
Yeah, when my grandpa was alive, he used to say money talks and BS walks. So.
Now I think it's plastic talks and walks.
Yeah. Put your thumbprint on there. Give us a blood sample. We'll sell you an iPhone, man. That's just crazy. But it's the way it is. And you better read the fine print or you're liable to hawk your firstborn or something. It's like, you know, We claim all rights to your firstborn, and you get to use this this nifty iPhone. Okay, no problem. Oh man, just hope you don't like your kid whenever he's born, because he's gone.
Yep.
Hey, they'll come collect if you make a deal with the devil. He's coming to get you. That's all there is to it. You know, that's all I can say about that stuff. But, hey, so far the sacrificial computer's holding up.
I was just going to say, I just had a little blip come up here saying that they had an issue with the call. Is everyone still here?
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah, it must have been, Apple must be onto us now.
Yeah, they don't like it when you talk about their products. Is that one guy on the
internet? We got that in the exact same time.
Man, I gotta turn my volume down on my cell phone. My kids are texting me, "Happy Father's Day! Hope you have a wonderful day. Love you." You know, that's cool, man. Any of you guys got kids, or are you still the kids?
No, I have none yet.
Well, when you get them, make sure before you get your kids, you read your contract on your Apple iPhone.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't want to lose them right out of the gate. But yeah, it's, you know, you almost got to laugh in the face of all of it, man. It's just, like I said, it's just so ludicrous. And your average Joe out there goes through life and doesn't even realize, man, how badly they're being taken advantage of, you know. And that's the nicest way that I can say it, you know. I mean, there's probably some other words I could drop in here. I could probably go on a 20-hour rant of what I think of the government.
Probably just wouldn't be fit for radio.
Oh, no, it definitely wouldn't be fit for radio, and I'd have to go soak my brain and my mouth out with soap and, you know, repent or something. Because, you know, that just isn't very nice. No, brother. Yeah, I'm typing a message back to my daughter. That was my daughter Jessica sent me the Happy Father's Day and tell me she loved me and all that kind of stuff. See, it's cool being a father. You know, when you guys get around to that point and you have your own kids, you're just enjoy it. Enjoy it, especially when they're really young, you know. And you get to go through the terrible twos and the terrible threes, and then all the way up into the teen years, and then, you know, they'll give you all kinds of heck, and, you know, your mother's always telling you whenever you're younger, you wait till you have kids, mister, you know, and boy, she wasn't joking. Anyway, but I'd still go through that whole deal all over again just to, you know, just to have that enjoyment. I have to look back at the times, and, you know, your little kids come up and wrap their arms around you, love you, daddy, and all that kind of stuff. That is just so awesome, man. Ain't nothing better than being a father. And when you got your own family, it's really cool, man. If you got a family and you got children and a beautiful wife, and you know, you should consider yourself to be truly blessed. You should be thankful, even if you're behind on your bills and you hate your job and everything is just, you know, it seems like it's all an uphill battle. You think about what you got at home, man. A lot of folks don't realize what they got until they just don't have it anymore. You know, you never know what you got until it's gone. And so, if you got a wife and children, you got a family, that's a big thing, man. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that is the true goal of the world. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I can't speak from experience, but it sounds 100% accurate there, Shaz.
Well, you were a son. You know, you got a mom. Didn't you tell me earlier during the break, mom had the hair dryer blowing, so you had to mute the mic?
Yeah.
Moms are good about that. Just don't never tell your mom that the vacuum sweeper sucks. Because I did that to my mom. She has this old antique vacuum sweeper. And she said, get my vacuum out the closet for me, boy. I said, all right. So I go over there and I get it out. And as I'm dragging it off, it just struck me funny. And I said, Mom. She said, what? I said, your vacuum sweeper sucks. And she said, boy, there ain't nothing wrong with that vacuum sweeper. I've had that for years. It works great. What do you mean it sucks? I said, Mom, it's a vacuum sweeper. If it didn't suck, it would be broke. It's supposed to suck. She didn't find it as amusing as I did, though. You know, that's what Mom called me, the wild child. And she said, "You boy, you wait till you have your own children. See how funny you think it is." But I'm there. I got my own children. They're grown up, and they got their own children. And a couple of them still ain't got children yet, but that day will come. Either way, it's kind of cool. Now I'm a grandpa, you know. Got grandchildren.
Now you get to spoil them and load them up with sugar before you send them off.
Yeah, send them back home all energized and riled up. That way you get to show your kids how they were when they were little. And my daughter, it's so funny because if you look at my granddaughter, and my daughter, as she was probably 5 years old at the time, you look at those two pictures side by side, and you couldn't tell them apart. My daughter's daughter is, she just looks just so much like her mama when they were that age. You know, you would swear up and down they were twin sisters. It's really cool. But when my daughter was little, she had this thing about clearing off coffee tables. When she'd go over to Grandma's house, the very first thing she would do is head straight for the coffee table and shove everything that's on the coffee table off in the floor. And I had to try to catch her before she did that. And I was like, don't let her knock that stuff in the floor. And I got her, you know, and this went on for quite some time while she was little. And tried to get her to stop doing it, but that was like almost impossible. But either way, years later, when my granddaughter was over, first thing she did was head straight for the coffee table and start shoving everything in the floor. Oh, man. But you know what? Those are the times that they're, you know, memories. You know, sitting around having barbecues with your kids and all that kind of stuff. That's just the cool stuff in life. You know, what do you guys think? Anybody got any thoughts or opinions on that? Dublin, you got kids? You even there? You got his microphone muted?
Yeah, no, I don't got kids. Didn't get married, so that was the end of that problem. Just the way the world works, you know, not everybody gets kids.
Well, if you need mine, you can borrow those for a while. They're old now.
Yeah.
They probably eat more.
Well, I mean, my brother had kids, so I babysat them and look after them, and I get on great with them. But they're all in college now, you know, they're growing up. But I'd say they're great when they're about 2, 3, 4 years old, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, it's like herding cats when you want to go somewhere. You know, one of them can't find their shoes, the other one can't, you know, find this, you know. When they're small, they're... It's a real mission to try and upstick and move from one place to another.
Yeah, no, they'll say the darndest things at the darndest times, man.
Oh, tell me about it, yeah. But, so I suppose I can look forward to they'll probably have their own kids shortly, and then I'll probably be babysitting again.
You know? Well, that's probably the best go. Babysit somebody else's kids that way. Whenever the day is over, you can ship them on back home, you know, and sleep in
exactly.
peace.
Yeah.
They're not screaming in the other room.
Yeah. So, well, one of my sisters is already, one of her daughters got a kid. But unfortunately, they're living in England, which is a bit of a mission to do babysitting from Spain. So.
Yeah.
Unless they come to Spain on the holiday, I won't be babysitting anytime soon for that kid. Yeah.
So what do you think about that whole IRS thing that I was talking about earlier right before I got booted offline?
I didn't catch all of it, but what do you expect? They cover up for who they want to cover up for, and then they come down heavy on those that they don't want to. I mean, income tax is voluntary. You know that.
Well, yeah, but the quick rundown is...
That doesn't work too well when the SWAT team comes in. So
if you owed them money and it was on their computer and their computer crashed, the information would be backed up. Oh, listen, yeah. Old Muddy jumps in there with an echo and everything.
Something going on there, yeah?
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, their information for your bill would be backed up on other computers and other servers, and so they want the people to believe that they can't find these emails because their computer crashed. Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, well, this is the game they play. I mean, they just do what they like. Same in Europe. In Europe, I mean, America, they tax you 50% ballpark. You know, the average Joe between all the hidden taxes and the stealth taxes and the, you know, property tax and everything else pays about 50%. But in Europe, we pay probably closer to 80%.
Wow.
You know. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we pay the double on fuel. I mean, you pay something like $5 a gallon. We would pay... Because the American gals, it's hard to figure it exactly, but we would definitely pay closer to $7, $8 for the same gallon.
I've got a solution for the whole deal, man. You know, seeing how they're going to take your taxes anyway, regardless of what you do, and if you don't pay your taxes, they're going to send the men in black and the jackbooted thugs to bash your door in and all that kind of jazz. Why don't we all just gather up all our bills and on payday put our tape our paycheck to the bills and send the bills and the paycheck over to them, right? And say, okay, this is how much I've got, and these are how much bills you got to pay. You're in charge now, so you go ahead and pay those bills and see if they can work out that budget, you know, because you know that sometimes you got to pay a portion of this bill and a portion of that bill so that everybody gets something, that, so at least they're not shutting you off or confiscating your goods or whatever. So, heck, man, just send all your bills to the government. I mean, they want to be nanny state. They want to be the boss and all that, you know. In a household, it's the dad who takes care of the bills, you know, for the most part. Unless the mom is better at the math and the finances, then the mom takes care of it. But either way, since the government can do a better job than you, then what you need to do is ship all your bills, your phone bill, your light bill, everything. Any debt you incur, just ship it over there to the White House with your paycheck and say, there's the money, there's the bills, sort it out, all right? I'm going to go ahead and leave my life and all that kind of stuff, and this week I'm on vacation, so, you know, make sure you stay on top of that because, you know, we got to have those things paid. What do you think, man?
Well, the trouble is, the more tax we give, the more we feed the beast.
Oh, well, yeah. But
they use those taxes to buy bigger guns to point at us.
Well, what do you think's going to happen whenever you send all your bills to them? You know, you think they're going to pay them? Heck no, they'll probably be paying the bare minimum on anything, if they even pay anything. We're the government. We don't have to pay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have found in Ireland that we bring along, if you're unemployed and you bring along your bills and you know how to do it, we have got them pay electricity bills and bills like that, but they don't like doing it. But, you know, they give you so much money and they kind of expect you to live on that, but it's not enough money to live on.
Well,
to pay your bills.
From what I understand from the conspiracy world of things, you know, there's a birth certificate out there, and it actually traded on the stock market. I actually looked it up on the, I think it was a NASDAQ or something like that. There's some numbers that you can type in on there, and it come up some military ammunition company that had been trading my birth certificate. And I'm like, what? You know, so I.
Yeah, well, you see, they're doing that with everything. Basically, if you know the way the subprime market blew up, what they're doing right now is what's called the subprime rental market, and they're renting out houses to people who can't possibly afford to pay the rent. You know, with no checks or balances. What they do is they bet that you can't pay the rent. So of course, a few months later, when you can't pay the rent, then they get the payback from the system because they made a bet that you couldn't pay the rent because you weren't earning enough. Like if you're earning $1,000 a month and the rent is $2,000 a month, it's a pretty sure bet that you can't pay the rent.
Oh, yeah. They made out like bandits over here with our housing crisis because not only did they get bailouts from the government, which was essentially money out of our pockets, they got paid, then they got to repossess the houses, and then they got to put the houses back on the market and resell them, so they got paid three times out of the whole deal there.
Oh, no, 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 it's called hypothecation. They got probably paid 20, maybe 50 times. People don't realize the scale of it. For example, if you got a house, say $100,000, and you decide to buy it, and you put your $10,000 payment down, you know, the 10%, they'll take that. The first thing is the mortgage people will take that, then they'll sell it into the stock exchange as worth $100,000, because they now see that this promissory note from you that you're going to pay $100,000 over so long is worth $100,000. But then they'll make a bet in the stock market that you can't pay it because they know probably that your income couldn't afford to pay that. And then the guys who buy that paper off you that's now worth $100,000 will go to the London stock market and they might sell it 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 times as being worth $100,000. And each person who buys it will sell it on as being worth $100,000. Nobody knows how many times it got hypothecated. Hypothecation is where you take the certificate, the bond, and you re-hypothecate it.
Well, I know you're right because whenever I started off buying my house that got foreclosed on me, by the time they foreclosed on me, it had already been sold to four different, at least four, possibly five different companies that my mortgage kept changing hands, you know? So they would sell the note to somebody else.
So, how long ago was that when your house got foreclosed?
That was in right around 2000.
Oh, right. So, what you've done since you bought another house, have you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's the kicker. This will make you laugh, man, because I ended up getting the last word on the deal. Where my old house is that got foreclosed, there was a piece of property not too far on the same, close to the same property. And so it was an old house, and I bought it really cheap for as is to fix up. And so I bought this property, been in it, and then this property across the street came open, and when I went to buy that property across the street, I made sure that there was no easement across there, right? And so now I own this property that I'm in right now doing my mad science show or the night show. And then I own my new property with the new house on there on the opposite side. And there's no easement across there. So now the property behind them's landlocked. And guess who they got to come to get an easement for that property?
You.
Yeah, and they can't do it. I even found out the utility company doesn't even have an easement across my property. Neither the water nor the power company has an easement across my property. There is absolutely no easement on my property whatsoever.
Right. And so, I'm not familiar with this term in America, what you call easement. I presume you mean access.
Yeah, it's where... Yeah. Essentially, you give them a path to their property. And yeah, so now the bank, in order to sell that property, are going to have to provide a way to get into that property. And as far as I'm concerned, the way they did my family, you know, they can take a helicopter in there as far as I care, but they ain't coming across my property. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that house is basically defunct.
Yeah, it's landlocked.
Landlocked. Yeah. Are they allowed to drill under you? Could they drill in a tunnel under you to get up the house, theoretically, just out of curiosity?
Well, if they do, they'll punch right through the water table that I'm sitting on, and they'll have to take a scuba gear to the house.
All right. Okay, so, so it looks like they're going to need a helicopter.
Or UFO is going to be their best option, so, you know, because...
Well, the thing is, anyway, about the whole financial market that people don't understand is, when that one Joso puts down his $10,000 deposit and starts paying every month on his house, he sets up a whole chain reaction of hypothecation. Now, in America, the limit in hypothecation, I think, is 3 times. So a certificate can only be hypothecated 3 times. So it could only be sold, it could only reach a maximum of $300,000 by being sold 3 times. But the London market has no limit.
Wow.
So most American companies will take one of those hypothecations and put it into the London market, and then the London market can hypothecate the hell and back out of it, typically at least 10 times.
Man.
That $100,000 house has now got $1 million riding on it somewhere in the exchange market. Now, if you can't pay the mortgage repayment, and then you go down, the bank comes along, well, they've put a bet that you can't pay, so they're going to get their $100,000 back. But the others downstream, because this exists as a bond, it's just assumed that it continues on, as best as I can figure it out. So the actual house thing is only like a, say you've got a snowball and you roll it down the hill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say the snowball that started the snowball fell out of that snowball, right? The snowball just continues down the hill. You get what I mean? This is the kind of nonsense they've created.
Yep.
I mean, I used to wonder about the Russian communists. They used to do similar nonsense. They used to do... They'd give one miner all the best equipment, and they'd give him the best, reef, you know, when you're working your way through, say, coal. It's in bands. You know, what they would call a sheet of coal or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, in one day, he might mine 2 tons of coal each hour. And then that suddenly became the acceptable limit. If you didn't, the other miners would all have to mine 2 tons of coal every hour. And yet the other miners might have bad equipment, and they might have bad seams and reefs and what have you. And so they'd be lucky if they got a quarter ton done, you know what I mean, in an hour. and then they'd be hauled up in front of the Communist Bureau for not having reached targets, you know. And
man.
So, yeah, this is the kind of nonsense that they've created now in the, say, what I would call the Western, so-called free Western world.
Well, I likened it to that game Monopoly. Have you ever played that game Monopoly?
Oh, yeah, Monopoly, yeah.
Well, yeah. Dealing with the system, the way it stands, is like playing Monopoly with my older brother, you know. He's always the banker, and for some reason, he always wins. You know, he's always got a fat stack of $500 bills on his side, and you go to the bathroom, and he ain't had no properties on his house. You come back, he's got motels, and I'm like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. This the Monopoly game is based on the real life that, in actual fact, the banks always win.
Yeah.
And the reason they always win is because they print money out of thin air. So whenever they have a money problem, they just go to the printing press and print more money.
Well, not to mention my brother, he would always recruit my younger brother by sliding $500 bills under the table. So when I come back, instead of my younger brother pointing it out and saying, look, he's cheating, you know, he's like, he's in on it, because he don't have motels, he's got houses on his, and he didn't have none before I went to the bathroom. I come back, and you know, they're set up, man, everything, look, you guys are doing pretty well at my expense.
Yeah, well, this is the nature of the game. You see it worldwide, but, you know, like what I would call Ponzi schemes, one day it has to come to a glorious end. Unfortunately, the way the world works, us little Josephs at the bottom are more likely to be the victims. But, I mean, as best as I can see, it's true. When you're born, there is a birth certificate made, and that birth certificate in America, as best as I can gather, is a $1 million bond, and in Europe, or in England and Ireland, it's about a $5 million bond or €3 euros.
Well, I'm saying is if these guys are using my fictitious name to basically make money off of me, then they need to pay my bills. So I'm going to send all my bills to them. That's all there is to it.
You actually got the right idea. You see, that bond is not just a bond for no reason. The government takes out the bond because they say, we got a new economic unit called Joseph, who was born on this day. Now, over his life, he's going to earn, I don't know, $3 million or $5 million, depending what they figure he's worth. And of that, he's going to pay back $1 million in tax, right? So what we'll do is we'll put a bond out there for $1 million because that's how much tax he's going to pay back in his lifetime. And the stock market can either believe this or not believe it. And if they decide, yeah, we believe that, we'll buy that stock for $1 million. And then the government now is given the $1 million. They're supposed to use that to build roads and hospitals and universities and all the rest, so that he can, when he becomes 20 years old or 25 or whatever, that economic unit, Joseph or Jane Doe or whatever, can now start paying the tax back. Now, the tax that they pay doesn't go to the government. It actually goes to the stock market, because they're the ones that put the $1 million bond down in the first place. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, see, you'd think that if these guys were doing this to see how much money you could make, I mean, outside of gambling that you're going to lose out of the gate, you know, you'd think they would like, hey, man, let's go over here and help old Joe out with, you know, some funds. That way he can make more money and get a better job and, you know, get some better education and stuff, and so we can boost this bond up, you know what I'm saying?
We see, this is the argument we use. We go down to the social welfare and we say, you know, look, we're aware that this bond exists, and, you know, I'm about to be thrown out of my house, and I'm going to be living on the streets, and, you know, I can't be a good economic unit and give you tax if I'm not living in the house.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't pay these bills, you know, you're not fulfilling your side of the bargain. that you're supposed to basically pay whatever is required so that I can be a performing economic unit. And they grudgingly pay the bills because they don't want to even admit that this bond exists. You see, it's a very important thing that people don't understand. You take somebody like my mother. The bonds business started in England and Ireland in 1933 with the King George V Social Security Act. And it started in America probably around about the same time under a different name. Now, people of my mother's age, the original bond, we believe, was 3 million sterling. Now, that money would have been invested in all sorts of stuff, and that probably means the bond when my mother died when she was about 72, a few years ago, would probably be worth 10 million.
Man.
Now, the trouble is, that's not her 10 million. That's the 10 million that's attached to her and her benefits, so that if she needs to go in a hospital and the hospital bills 2 million, they fork out, they pay it. I mean, now, when she dies, that 10 million transfers to the government. So there's 10 million good reasons to bump my mother off. This is what people don't understand. Now, it's the same with you. There probably was a $1 million bond made for you, which probably by now is worth, say, $5 million. So there are now 5 million good reasons when you're now, say, coming up to retirement age or thereabouts. There's 5 million good reasons why they shouldn't give you good hospital care. See what I mean?
Yeah, so try to do you
cancer,
in, man.
Give them an aspirin. You know, it's called Obamacare. And then when you die, they get the 5 million.
Boy, I'll tell you what, these guys got it all figured out. I mean, they must have played Monopoly with my brother and learned some tricks or something like that. Hey, we got Muddy in here. Muddy, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you got it.
Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Oh, that only works with Mother's Day. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, happy Father's Day to each and every one of you.
What?
I got me a Father's Day card today, doggone it.
All right. Cool. Happy Father's Day to you too, brother.
Yeah, Bubba. Yeah, Jonathan sent me one. My other son didn't send me one, but Jonathan did.
Well, that's cool.
I'm luckier now.
Yeah. Well, if you need a babysitter, Dublin's a good babysitter. I can vouch for him. He's in Spain.
And what you doing for the next month?
You pay the airfare, hell to the babysitter. Come over to Texas. Do the bank.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, what else do we got to bring out here on the table, man?
Well, I got to bring something out at you.
What's that?
I got that when I first popped up this morning, and I said, ooh, actually was last night after 12 o'clock. But anyway, I got that, and I got to thinking, doggone, man, that made my head puff up. And it kind of brought in the idea of, you know, you go down the hall and you hear your kid talking in the other room to other kids. And you hear him say, my daddy beat your daddy up. Oh, my daddy beat your daddy up. You don't know nothing. Your daddy, he can't do. Yeah, well, my daddy picked up the back end of the car and moved it over and walked around to the front end of the car and walked it over just so he could mow the grass because he said he was too lazy to go get the key. My daddy thumping on your daddy. So what you get out of this, you stop in the hall. And you don't want to stop that because, man, that sounds good. That is the highest form of praise.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
If anyone wants to know how to get a hold of the big father in the sky, doggone it. I figure that's the highest form of praise.
Yep.
About it. It's just a thought that, you know, kind of had to just jump across my brain. Boy, you know, I tell you what, it spurred a lot of thought, you know what I mean?
I agree, brother. I couldn't lift up the back of the car, but, I'd give it a shot.
Hey, you work up a sweat. That's me. I used to pick up back end of my light little pickup, but shoot, no, I can't, you know, all that extra metal just ain't happening.
I think Dublin could lift up the back of the car. Don't you guys got little cars over there in Spain?
Oh, electric cars?
No, Dublin. don't they got small cars over there in Spain?
Yeah, like a micro.
Yeah.
You know, we got little ones, but, you know, I mean, it'd be hard to put to lift the back of any car, you know, that's not, you know, really little one. your average car is still hitting, you know, one ton.
Go look at them little 72 Hondas. Those things are like little midget cars, man.
Yeah, well, they were tiny. You might just about lift one of those, but most modern cars are, you know, fairly heavy. They're 1,700 engines or 1,400 engines, and they're...
What'd you say, Mitko?
If you have enough adrenaline.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hang on.
Tell him we said hi. Mitko, do they got Yugos in Bulgaria?
What?
Do they have them cars called Yugos in Bulgaria?
Yeah, the old Yugoslavian import.
Yeah, they were like Russian cars that they imported over here. They're really tiny, boxy-looking cars.
Yeah, they had a transmission that was bigger than the engine.
Yeah.
Three-bag.
I don't think we have those.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Before, maybe one or two, no.
That stinks. If you ever find one, put a stamp on it and post it over to me.
I want to make an electric car. That thing is so light. The next one is a Volkswagen with the chrome moly framework and all. Very strong and much thinner, a little lighter.
Yeah, I know. The Volkswagen's got a bad rap, you know. Those things, some of them are still running. The only thing that I had problem with the Volkswagen, and I think it was like some way to kill us, was the exhaust system. You know, the heat on the exhaust system was part of the... they actually had a deal that was actually wrapped around the exhaust, and it would take that heat off, and that was the heater for the inside of the car. Well, it's all well and good as long as there's no exhaust leaks, but if we get an exhaust leak, then guess where that exhaust is going up inside the car? Yeah, so you get choked out of it, man.
I had a friend that used to rebuild three of those motors a day and also work on high-performance bikes.
Well, they put them on three-wheelers now, you know, little three-wheeler motorcycles.
Right.
And they also put them on dune buggies and stuff like that.
Oh, they use the whole rear end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what's very popular is the putting the engine into home-built aircraft. The Volkswagen engine was the best one for its time because it's a four-cylinder air-cooled engine, a flat four.
Yeah, the pancake motors, like they had in the
vans. Yeah, it fits very well in your average home-built airplane.
Well,
so they do some modifications. They put on two sets of spark plugs, and they put on a carburation heater system. But it's a very, very popular motor. If you look at any plans, build your own airplane for whatever, $20,000, the Volkswagen motor was probably the most popular engine. It's slightly not so popular anymore because they've replaced it with a Japanese engine, which is an industrial pump engine, typically three or four cylinder.
Well, Muddy could build the props for them.
Oh, yeah.
So let's all build us a either a helicopter or an airplane and fly back and forth, man. What do you think?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean the Volkswagen engine is out there. It just keeps going and going and going.
Well, see, there's another good testament to old technology. Some of these old air compressors, they still work. There's so many different old machines that seem to work just as good as they did back in the day, man. So that's why I like to pick up old stuff like that. Don't everybody jump in the mic at once.
The best thing to do is to buy an old car from about the 1970s, because they don't have any electronic ignitions or any of that electronic nonsense. So the modern car is full of electronics. It's got a telephone system called Star, which is basically a mobile phone that reports where your car is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It actually can switch on and listen into the conversations in the car. If they want to stop the car, they can remotely control and stop your car, you know, and they can also hack in and change things in your car so your brakes won't work or your steering won't work or all sorts of stuff and cause you to crash. So, I mean,
so
you want to be a lunatic.
The government's got...
Old car,
so the government's got the technology to do all this stuff, but they ain't got technology to save some emails when their computer crashes? Seriously?
Yeah, well, it depends on what they want. It's all to do with what they want to save and what they don't want to save. And what they don't want to save, they don't save. You know, whatever doesn't suit them, they just lose it.
Yeah, I can do it.
Look, it's gone. Want to save it? They can always save it. I mean, it's like this business of that airplane that disappeared. You know, that famous Flight 370. There isn't a single airplane flying in the sky at the moment that they are not tracking 24/7. Do you mean?
Well, there was a deal on the news the other day over there in Europe. Supposedly, like 20 or 30 planes come up missing, just disappeared off the radar.
They disappeared off the radar. Now, I can tell you, there isn't a single airplane, not even a small one, you know, that isn't being tracked by the military 24/7. And that's been that way for 20 years. It's impossible now for an airplane to disappear from the military scope. They have all the information. They know exactly where an airplane is. But for whatever reason that's convenient to them, they're choosing to say, "Ooh, we don't know nothing about that plane." Absolute rubbish. They know exactly where that plane was. If it crashed, they know exactly the crash site. I mean, if it diverted, they know exactly where it diverted to. They know exactly where it landed. All that there is they are choosing not to tell us. Why? We don't know. I can promise you there is no airplane that can disappear on this planet.
So these guys... These guys literally got the hand in the cookie jar right in front of your face, and even though you're looking at it, are telling you that they don't know where the cookies are at.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the way it works. You see, how could we prove it? We're just Joseph. We're not in NORAD or any of these high-tech defense systems tracking objects, you know, around the planet. And
Muddy's got a frog on his side. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Did you hear that frog on Muddy's?
Yeah, rabbit.
Anyway, go ahead, Dublin.
Yeah, there's definitely a frog somewhere out there. You know, but, governments lie. They always lie. They've always lied. I mean, there hasn't been a government on the planet that's ever told the truth. I mean, it's ridiculous to expect them to do otherwise, because the government is a servant. Like all servants, you know, they got a chip on their shoulder about being servants, and they want to be the center of the party, and they want to, you know, use your money and, you know, do all sorts of things, and then change the role over to you're the servant and they're the master. So they're going to lie. I mean, that's the nature of government. And so we just have to keep resisting them. But unfortunately, in the last couple of years in Europe, we haven't succeeded in that. They've basically brought in the Communist Republic of Europe. It's completely communist now. No capitalism worth talking about in Europe.
Muddy, what is that noise, brother?
It sounds like a frog.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you could hear that. I was playing on a rubber band guitar at me.
See? All right, pick us out a tune. Pick us out a tune and get it out of your system. Let's hear the rubber band tune.
That thing's pretty cool. Here you go.
Yay! Was that doodling banjos?
No. Heck, I don't know what it was. I was just checking out the fret marks that I made to make sure they were accurate.
All right, everybody.
I didn't know you could hear it.
If you need a rubber band guitar, Muddy is in the market now. I made a rubber band guitar years ago, man. Mine was like a box guitar, you know, like a regular, looked like acoustic guitar, but it had rubber bands on it.
Yeah, this one looks like a straight piece of wood.
Well, you got to have that box in there because that way you can hear the tone better.
Yeah, the bottom down here is a small Altoids can. It just barely fits on the board.
Did you cut a hole in it for the acoustic sound?
No, I just like the rattle. It kind of makes it sound like an overdrive amplifier.
Well, cut the hole in there. That way you can get the acoustic sound out of it. Hold on, I'll show you. I'll show you one here. Hold on a second.
That's all right. I'll probably just go ahead and put a piezo element on that thing and use it as a full amplifier. And I'm going to put a 741 op amp and a 386 op amp in line. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I could even make a reverb on these if you take a piece of, not coat hanger, but...
this one here... This
some
one
kind of wire, and you coil it up. Steel wire is best, and it kind of puts a reverb to it. And you just kind of solder it to the can.
This one here is called a canjo. All right, it's a stick that has one string on it, and it goes down in through a Mug's root beer can, you know. And so,
a dirigi do.
Well, they call
check
this
out C60.
This is redneck style. They call it canjo. Like a banjo? Can you hear this? It's out of tune, man. What do you think, man? That was Wipeout on a canjo.
Yeah, I remember Wipeout. All you needed was that drumming going.
Yeah. Well, you should have been doing that, man.
Oh, yeah. But then I wouldn't be able to hear you.
All right. We got any serious subjects to talk about? Or we need a music break?
A frog?
No, I said, do we have any serious subjects to talk about, or do we need a music break?
Music break, we'll talk about what to talk about.
All right. Well, yeah, because we're talking about canjos and rubber band guitars.
I really didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, we kept hearing this noise. It sounded like a frog in the background. I was like, what is that? And every time the frog would come on, Muddy would light up.
Hey, that's kind of ironic. You look at the end of my videos and it says Muddy Productions, and it's a keyboard picture of a frog in the middle of it. The U is, the tongue is the U for Muddy.
Yeah.
That's ironic there.
So it was a subconsciously subconscious I don't know, something about a frog. Anyway, stay tuned. We're gonna play a tune and come back with some intelligence. Peace and love, everybody.
Stopping at the lower cat's back, walking. feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind.
Will someone try open up your eyes? You must be blind if you can't see the gaping hole called reality. Wanna do it again? I'm gonna do it again. Wanna do it again? Come on, I'm gonna do it again.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Our Honorable Knight Muddy had to go take a siesta because he's a snoozing off. Anyway, we talked about Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. We talked about the government IRS ludicrousy. They can't find the emails because their computer crashed and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's like beating a dead horse and preaching to the choir. So I'm thinking we just need to figure out solutions and just leave all the rest of that stuff behind. Like, there's folks out there in the world that need water pumped to them, you know, whether they're getting it from the ocean and need to desalinate it and move it from point A to point B to irrigate their crops or whatever, or whether they have a well system that may or may not be polluted that needs to be purified and that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of solutions out there for that. Alternative energy solutions for power. You know, you could use some wind power to actually pump some water, and you could use some steam power to actually, Tom was talking about on the break, you could, you know, use the steam to move it from point A to point B. So there's all kinds of solutions. Who all we got left in here? We still got Dublin? No? Yeah? Going once? Going twice? We got Tom in here. So what?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What you thinking about, Tom?
Oh, nothing. I just started writing down on a piece of paper like what you're talking about there, trying to get the water pumped like over in third world countries and that. Like, obviously, some of the main problems would be the energy that you're going to need to actually do the moving. Materials would probably be the next big one. And then, of course, you got to take into consideration the distance, which would go back and tie back into the materials that you would need to get it there. And just trying to jot down just ways of getting around that here on a piece of paper.
Well, I know I used to watch Gilligan's Island back in the day, and as crazy as that may sound, they used bamboo for pipes, man. And so they were able to transmit water from one portion of the island to the other portion of the island, actually had themselves some plumbing going on. I mean, there's all kinds of probably natural solutions in order to get that stuff to from point A to point B. Just have to, you know, check out the general area and see what kind of resources they actually have to work with. When we did that pop boat contest, I was surprised we didn't get very many. We actually didn't get any people who entered a boat outside of the ones that I did and other people talked about. I don't know what went on with that, but either way, the whole idea was to take a little toy boat and turn it into a usable deal. You know, I'm going to scale one up to a full-size version where a full-grown man can ride around in, and so essentially it'd be a solid-state boat motor with no moving parts. I know how to do it. It's just the finances to do it, or getting somebody who can bend the tubing for me or whatever in order to make the coil system that actually goes in the boat that you heat the water up and gets the water moving. Essentially, you got steam pockets in there, and that steam pressure is going to build up, and it's going to force its way out one way or another. Whichever way it forces it out, it creates a suction on the back end of it, which brings more water in and keeps the cycle going continuously. That same thing could actually be used in wells, to where you could actually pump water up out of the wells using heat, you know. And so that kind of falls in line with the same thing you were talking about as far as using steam to move it from point A to point B. So, you know, depending on the distance and, like you said, the material that would be needed to actually build a pipeline or whatever to get it over there, it can be done. What do you think?
I think it could be done, but it's just kind of, I don't know how to describe it, just kind of where they're going to be sitting and the access to different things. It's probably the reason why it hasn't been done already.
Well, the thing I'm thinking about is we need to build, we already got a network of people that talk about solutions and stuff like that, but we need a network of resources to where, like, you know, if you need something from my general vicinity that I can either get to you or whatever, then, you know, my name would be on the list of possible resources for, you know, projects or whatever, you know, because I got all kinds of stuff in my lab I don't need at all, and I'd be willing to send it to somebody who, you know, has a project going on. But knowing what is in the general area and specific knowledge of general subjects that, you know, had to deal with water filtration and stuff like that, if we gathered up a list of all the individuals who know a lot about water filtration, and then we can basically steer the people to those folks where they can talk about how to build a homemade water purifier or whatever, you know, because there's so much knowledge out here. I mean, not everybody has access to the internet, but you know, there's got to be a means by which we can get the information to the areas needed, you know. What do you think?
I'm sure there's, I don't know, if there's not a way, like I say, we'll have to come up with a way, because I think that as soon as people are informed and they have knowledge on things, I think things will actually progress rather quickly for them.
Well, I know the resources are available. It's just getting moved in the right direction at the right time. You know, it just drives me insane that people are doing without. They need fresh water. They need, you know, everybody needs water. That's the top of the list right there. Everybody needs fresh water. We need to figure out a way to get these folks fresh water, because it's obvious that the elites of the world, they don't care enough about these folks in order to do it, you know. Falls under that whole Agenda 21 thing that the conspiracy folks talk about, you know, and, you know, you could say it's a conspiracy, but they actually got websites out there with the information that they post freely saying they want to depopulate the world and stuff like that. So, you know, with that said, you know, it's going to be up to the average Joe to ensure that no matter how hard they try, they can't, you know?
Yep.
To help these people out firsthand. If I had the capabilities to fly from point A to point B, I'd spend the rest of my life going around and building stuff for people, you know? Because, you know, when I look at the junk that's laying around, I can repurpose this junk, you know? There might be old copper wire that I could build a generator out of and some magnets and stuff like that, show them how to build a wind turbine or something. Just something to get enough energy to run an electric motor, to run a pump, or, you know, use some wind turbines to run a pump. Because actually building a pump is a really basic deal. And all these things that we're talking about, they're really basic concepts behind all these ideas that can be used, you know. In the old days, they used to use a circular piece of leather and a pipe, and they would drill a hole down to the water, and then they would use the circular piece of leather at the bottom to, when you pushed it down in the water, water would get around the seal of the leather, and then as you pulled it back up, it would pull that water up to the top. And so if you pumped it back and forth, you'd get a water pressure going on. And that would be something really simple to do, to pump water, because you could hook that to a linkage that would actually off of a either a wind turbine or a propeller. And as that thing's turning, it's pumping that up and down. You know, they did it on farms for years to irrigate crops. You know, they made big giant windmills. And so that's old technology that still works just as good as it did back in the day. I don't see why, you know, some of these big companies out there can't at least go over there and throw up somebody a windmill so that they can at least have some doggone water in their neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it just comes down to that whole, you know, once somebody has that amount of money, you know, they have no worries left. So it's just kind of like, why do they really care about anybody else type thing? That's what I see is happening.
Well, the problem is we care about everybody else, but we just don't have the resources to fly to and fro. You're in Canada, I'm in the United States. People in Africa need water, and they need food and that kind of stuff. And basically, the only resources that we have access to at the moment because of financial issues is that, you know, we got the radio show where we can get out and talk to people and hopefully motivate them to get over there and help their neighbors out. You know, if you live next door to Africa and you can get over there and help them out and you know your way around the place, you know, call us up and ask us how to build certain things, or, you know, we can get you in contact with other folks who do have that knowledge. It's a knowledge sharing deal. That's the key to this whole thing. It's putting this information out there that can benefit people by not only, you know, telling them how, you know, showing them how to build it, you know, pointing out where the resources are available or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yep, and plus the way that I look at it, you know, these people are over there, they're struggling so hard, and like the only thing on their mind is, you know, where's their next glass of water coming from, where's their next little bit of food coming from, like where are they going to take shelter and all that. Like, if you were to take that need away from them, like take that worry, you don't know what their brains could come up with. Like, they could very well contribute something that would benefit all of the world, in a sense.
Well, I agree with you 100%, brother. If you uplift any human spirit, human soul, human being, if you uplift them, you could unlock the potential, you know, of the next great cancer cure, which I'm pretty positive they've already cured cancer, but we won't go into that right now because that's just, you know, it takes you down another rabbit hole. Every single direction that we go in takes you down a rabbit hole of all the conspiracies in the world. And it's blatantly, obviously true that there are conspiracies in the world, and to deny that would just be to be blind to the system that it is out there. Because there's no reason whatsoever why there should not be food in every belly on this planet, why there should not be a roof over every head. We've got more than enough materials. We've got tools. I mean, for Pete's sake, there's probably hammers and nails stockpiled up in some doggone warehouse somewhere for the next 100,000 years, you know. They make them and make them and make them, and, you know, that way your hammer, you lose your hammer, you go to the hardware store and buy one for a 300% markup, and some nails made over in China out of everything that's junk, you know. It's funny, I got a funny story about Chinese nails. I was out in this old barn, and I bought a whole box of brand new 16 penny nails, and I'm out there trying to tap in a 2x4, and I'll be gosh, every time I hit that doggone thing, I hit my thumb too, because that nail would just bend right over like mush. I mean, it was like it was made out of aluminum foil, and so I was getting mad. It took me 10 nails to get one through the board. I look down on the ground, and there's this old bent-up galvanized metal nail from the old days, and I took it and put it down on the concrete, and I straightened that puppy out, and I drove that sucker through the first go, man. So, you know, not only did I pay a lot of money for a bunch of junky nails, but I smashed my thumb at least 9 times out of 10 trying to drive those nails through there. You know, there's the craziness of the whole deal. Wasted resources, wasted materials, And, you know, there ain't no conspiracy in there. It's just people trying to make a lot of money and trying to rip people off, you know. How you get people in the world to realize that honesty is the best policy, I'll never know, because I've been trying and trying and trying. You know, you're going to sell me a bunch of junky nails, I'm not going to buy them from you again. You know, then eventually you're going to run out of customers. You'd think that would be the way it goes. But if the only thing on the market is junky nails, that's all you get. Junky nails.
Of course.
So, where do we go to from here? We got to use the brilliance that we've got and learn from our elders, the folks before us who knew how to make a real good nail that would go through a real 2x4, even hardwood or whatever. And they knew how to build things back in them days. We still know how to build things. We've got access to a vast amount of knowledge, you know. And it's going to be we, the people, who actually get out there and help the other people who are in need, because we're obviously not going to get that via any leadership, because if they were going to do it, I mean, I'm 48 years old, you know. It hasn't happened in my lifetime. Don't take no 48 years to solve starvation in the world. It don't take no 48 years to show people how to irrigate. If these people are over there dying, then it's the entire world's responsibility to save their lives, you know. Get over there and give them some food. Do whatever it takes to do this, you know.
Yeah, because if the tables were ever turned, you know, these people that are all sitting high and mighty right now, you know, they'd be probably down on their knees just begging for the help.
Yeah. And, you know, those folks, they got dreams and aspirations just like we do. Maybe they speak a different language. Maybe their cultures are different or whatever. They're still people, and they still got kids. They still got wives and fathers and mothers, all that kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, here we are. You know, I'm feeling truly blessed. I'm in a position where I got my own land and my own home and stuff like that. And to me, I would do what I could to share with the world, you know. But how do I get there? How do I put myself on a plane and go over there and find out what resources they got? You know, it all boils down to the money system. But there's folks in that area who have resources. You know, heck, there's drug lords over there that have more resources than probably most of the average Joe over here.
I can just imagine.
They're probably living in a mansion, living high on the hog. And, you know, could you imagine living that kind of life where you're just the average Joe trying to get by, and you got some drug lord that you got to make sure you don't cross them, or you know, stay off the road certain times so that you don't get shot or beat up or tortured or mugged or kidnapped and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's where the power of all the militaries of the world should be focused on, is the pure evil out there. They should be out there, you know, running them drug lords off to jail, getting them some therapy or something, man, outside of what's going on right now. You know, just, you know, hey, out of sight, out of mind. It's not in my neighborhood, so why should I worry about it?
Yeah, that almost ties back to that conspiracy thing. I wonder how many governments are actually in ties with all these nasty people all over the world.
Well, you know, there's got to be some. Look what the scandals going on over here in the States. You know, everything from gun running to drug running. You know, when I heard a report about our military over there watching the poppy fields, because that was their big deal over there in Afghanistan, that's where they made their big money. You know, if you're against drugs, you should be against drugs in every nation, you know, not just go over there and watch this guy's drug field so that he'll allow you to be in his land and, you know, fight the enemy and all that kind of stuff. I mean, who is the enemy these days? That's the big question. I mean, shoot, man. There's a terrorist behind every bush. You're a terrorist because you're trying to talk about common sense. I'm a terrorist because, you know, I got my religious beliefs. I hate to use the word religion, because every time you use a religion, that's become taboo because it's been demonized to the fact that, you know, regardless of my own personal beliefs or why I even call myself a Christian, you know, you got folks out there trying to make me like I'm a bad guy because, you know, I believe in peace and love and treating your neighbor the way that you want to be treated kind of stuff. You know, something's backwards in this whole deal, man. You know?
Oh, I definitely agree with you there.
You know, think about this for a second. You know, in my religious belief, there was a man named Jesus, the Son of God, come down here, right? Regardless, even if it turned out to be a fictional story, think about all the good that just that story alone did humanity. Because, you know, the words and stuff that he was talking about are common sense, treating people right kind of stuff. Not cheating on your wife or honoring your mother and fathering, that kind of stuff. Take away all kinds of sense of morality to society. And those words never even said, that story never even told, no hope of God or redemption or any of that kind of stuff. Take that completely out of the picture and just leave it up to man. And what do you get? You get total anarchy, a road warrior society, a society where people don't know the difference between right and wrong. So to me, I don't care whether it was a story or not. You know, whether it was a fairy tale or real or not real, in my personal belief, it was the real deal because of my own personal experiences. But regardless of all that, those are the things I believe in. Taking care of people, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, you know, putting a roof over the homeless people. You know, everybody who's got a decent heart should be able to agree on that fact alone. Don't you think so?
Oh, most definitely. The way I see it, like, you can just turn a blind eye to all the suffering and starvation and all that, but, you know, what's going to happen when all these people, they just cease to exist, and then, you know, you're going to be left here all alone, and, well, what fun's that going to be?
Yeah, well, when is the third world country lifestyle coming to your neighborhood? Soon. It's coming to your... Because as soon as those guys get erased off the planet, who's going to be next to get erased, you know? These guys up at the top, they don't care. They don't care whether you live or die, you know? If you're sick, they like that because you're making them money. If you're out there fighting wars for them, they like that because you're making them money. I mean, bullets, they make money. Guns make money, you know? Drugs make money. Whether it be drugs or illegal drugs or medical from the doctor drugs or whatever, it doesn't matter. Anything that people need is going to make money. And then from my point of view, when I'm looking at the world out there and I see they deliberately put out the need for you to need things, you know, they make it where you need things. And so they can sell it to you. You know, it's kind of like me coming over to your house and giving your kid a slingshot that says Joe's Glass Repair, you know. And I give your kid a slingshot, he busts out your window, and you come over there and buy a window from me. You know, business is good as long as all the kids have a slingshot.
Yeah.
Well, is that a marketing ploy or what?
That's a good marketing ploy.
Yeah, give all the kids a slingshot and BB guns, and the glass business is booming. So, you know, and then the doctor bills too, because, you know, he did that little Red Ryder BB gun. You're gonna put your eye out. That video, remember that one?
Was it Christmas Story or something?
Yeah, he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. Everybody said he'd put his eye out. And at one point, he did shoot himself in the eye. It ricocheted off of something. But either way, you know, hey, there's some doctor bills for you. Give everybody pogo sticks. When they break their leg, you can go buy a $5 Band-Aid and a $1,000 cast to bandage up your leg and all that kind of stuff, you know? Who knows, man? So... you got to be wiser than the system of the beast out there, man. That beast system, it does exist. It's right there in your face. It charges you taxes. It eats away at your freedom. It eats away at your morality. And it makes you want to go out there and fight with your brothers and sisters around the world. And it doesn't matter if you go out and punch your brother and sister in the face out there in the world and get thrown in jail, because they're going to make money whether you're in jail or whether you're out free. Don't matter what you're doing. You drive your car, you're making them money. You go to the grocery store, you're making them money. You get in a fist fight, get thrown in jail. While you're in jail, you're making them money. In all different directions. So everything out there is fine the way they got it set up for them. But how's it for you as the individual? How's it for that individual that's sitting down there in portions of Africa where they can't get proper irrigation or proper food and water and stuff like that going on? How's it for the people down in Mexico where the huge corporations go down in there and pollute their water supplies and rape and pillage their land, you know? They've got a drug war going on over there, drug lords and stuff like that. You think all them individuals are trying to cross the border because they like it at home? It doesn't make any sense.
There's obviously a problem there if they're trying to jump across.
Yeah. You got them coming across the border from all different directions because they've heard stories of America and how wonderful it is in America, you know, that the American government's going to take care of them. Well, what happens when we squeeze the entire population of the world into America, you know?
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. Obama has told the Mexicans and the South Americans, if they come to America, they won't be deported anymore.
Well, in my personal own belief, I believe Obama's the doggone Antichrist. I mean, if he ain't, he's just the worst president in the history of time. I mean, because nobody could be incredibly corrupt and stupid.
People seem to think there's one Antichrist. There can be many Antichrists.
Well, no, look, I understand what you're saying.
He's definitely one of them, I can tell you that much.
Look, I think he is the biblical Antichrist, the one talked about in Revelations. That's the one I think he is, and I think the Pope is a false prophet. These are coming from my own personal views, all right? I can't say that I'm right, but this is what I think because of the signs that I've seen. But regardless of all that, either the guy is the most evil person in the world, or he's the treasonous person in the country, or he's just stupid as all get out, because what he's doing is not fixing this nation. What he's doing is not helping the world.
Destroying it. That's exactly his plan. You see, what the plan is now is they're bringing in millions of South Americans and Mexicans, and they're housing them in FEMA camps. And they're calling them the dream kids, because what they're doing is they're saying, if you arrive in America with kids, we won't deport you.
Well, here's the thing, man.
They want the kids. There's a reason why they want the kids, because in a few years' time, those kids will then be
voters,
automatically drafted into the American Army. But because they won't know the Bill of Rights and they won't know the Constitution, when they get told, round up all the gun owners, they'll go out there and round up all the gun owners.
But here's the thing, brother. I agree with everything you're saying, you know. But the problem is this, man. Instead of trying to bring everybody to America, let's fix their nation for them. Instead of wasting money on going over there blowing up somebody who can't even afford a plane ticket to get over here to do any harm to us, let's go fly over to Africa, take our boats over there, let's put irrigation systems into there, let's go down to Mexico, and let's run them drug lords off, let's take the doggone corporate goons out of the picture and tell them, look, if you're going to be in this country, and you're going to do business in this country, you're going to respect these people. If you don't, you are out of business, because in our side of the nation over there, we will not allow any of your products to be sold ever again if you don't clean this mess up that you made in this nation over here. This is the way it needs to be done. You know, we know all the problems. We know why they're bringing the kids over here, to get votes, to get more military or whatever, or to totally destabilize the nation. You know, over in Russia, you know, there's problems over there. There's corruption over there. There's corruption in every single nation. But until the average Joe finally gets so fed up with it, instead of going out and starting the next revolution, start to do things like getting their politicians booted out of office by taking the masses over there, and if need be, literally pick them up and carry them off on a rail, ship them out of town, and start off with somebody who's going to get the job done. And that's not what's going on. You see, everybody can sit around and complain about the government, but they don't understand that by rights they are the government because they allow the government to do whatever. We put them in office. It's time for us to take them out of office. While they're committing all these crimes, they need to have their feet held to the fire, and we need to go over to the other nations, and we need to hold their feet to the fire when our companies from this country over here are going over there to destroying their resources and looting and pillaging their land and making the people sick, then we need to stop buying their merchandise. We the people need to stop buying anything from any nation. We the people need to start doing our research and finding out where these products come from and stop supporting the drug lords. Stop supporting the corporations that are tearing up these nations. Stop supporting the companies that are polluting the ocean, that are polluting in the air. If you find out a company is using child labor somewhere, you just stop buying their product, you know? And if you can't find it anywhere else, then use your God-given skills and make it yourself. Pick up a sewing needle and some string and some material and some scissors. Make yourself a shirt. Make your family a shirt. Better you look stupid with one sleeve longer than the other than some little child 5-10 years old working till his finger bleeds and he can't even breathe because of all the toxic fumes in the factory that our companies over here in the United States, who are trying to save themselves some money via taxes or regulations, go over there and they kill that nation off, and then we're going to turn around and buy their goods. You see what I'm saying? It's the average Joe who has the power to stop this. You can't get the governments to regulate anything. We could sit here and piss and moan and run around in circles day after day after day for 365 days of the year. We can talk about all the evils that they have at their disposal, why they're allowing all these people in there, why they're allowing companies to ship guns and drugs and everything to and fro, or we can just stop supporting the system at all. We could do like one of the guys here on the Knights of the Round Table said one time, just stop paying our taxes. What are they going to do? Arrest 320 million people here in the United States? You know, there's where the problem is. Because you don't know how to garden, you don't know how to fish, you don't know how to hunt, you don't know how to live off the ground, and if the power grid ever goes down, you are reliant to whoever does. And right now the government does. The government has all the knowledge and ain't willing to share it with you. And even though it's all over the internet, even though it's right in front of your face, you're not willing to research it. You're not willing to put the effort in there because it's easier to sit home and collect food stamps and live off the government because you're just tired of the whole system. And what you're doing is perpetuating the system. You teach your brothers and sisters how to fish and you'll feed them for a lifetime. You teach them how to hunt. You teach them how to grow food in the garden. You teach them how to sew. You teach them how to do all kinds of things. This is where the power lies. Think about it. The majority of the people in this world are citizens. The minority of the leaders in the world are the minority. That's it. We outnumber them by the billions. And why are we sitting by idly allowing each and every one of these stinking individuals to have their secret societies, to secretly behind the scenes pollute our water, fill our kids with chlorine and fluoride and vaccinations that are giving them things like autism? The diabetes rate here in the United States is skyrocketing because average Joe is putting so much junk in their body, blowing their chemistry right right out of the doggone water. And all those folks standing around are sitting there watching as their loved ones are dying and getting their legs amputated because of disease, and they're not listening to the average Joe out here on Shake and Wake Radio, No Borders Radio, We Roar Radio, TCT, 1800 Online, Shaziz Radio, and I could go on and on and on and on. Nobody out there is paying enough attention while their family is sitting there dying before their very eyes, while their bodies are deteriorating. There are alternative medicines, alternative energy, alternative to everything that is the beast that is literally eating humanity alive. And the only way that we're ever going to get these people in Africa fed and water and a roof over their head is if we, the people, get up and walk over there and do it. Pick up a broom, pick up a hammer, pick up a nail, and just do it. Don't ask for permission from the beast, because the beast isn't going to tell you, sure, go over there and feed them and empty my wallet. You see where I'm coming from, brother? Whew!
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
They don't care.
We see where you're coming from. It's just that without the knowledge of why they're doing it, you know, this is not an accident. I mean, they're literally going to South America and Mexico and telling them, if you come to the United States of America, you will not be deported.
I understand. You know, and what we need to do, while you're pointing that out, we'll be thinking about solutions, and we will keep the solutions going. We'll say, look, this is what they're doing over there, and we need to fix it, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I agree.
I mean, as you say, don't pay the taxes, because it's the taxes that's feeding the beast that's trying to kill you. So, somebody stops paying the taxes, it's going to be very difficult for them to bring all these millions of illegals into America and destroy the American economy.
Like you were talking there, Shaz, like, they're probably scared of emptying their pockets. Well, I would almost bet that it would probably be cheaper to go over there and help them out with a few things than it would be to start bringing them all over and just doing all that stuff that you were talking about there. I could almost bet that it would be cheaper to help them out.
Yeah. And see, why they build armies of warriors, you know, to go over and tear down nations, then our side should be building armies of builders to go over and build up other nations. And, you know, if all I got is some cheap plywood, but I can still build you a house, I'm bringing my cheap plywood, all right? And we'll get that house built for you. And then as better resources come in there, we'll come in and upgrade your house. We need to build armies of people that will go over out of their own free will and take whatever resources they have access to. Surely, you know, I don't have everything that I need to make a stew, you know. But I might have a can of vegetables, or I might have some bread to go along with the stew, and I bring it over to your house, and you call up some of your buddies and friends, and they got other things, and somebody's got some salt, and we put all this stuff together, we have a decent meal. You see how simple that is?
It's unbelievably simple.
It's just, you know, we got to do this, man. Look, if our kids have to hear the same things and our kids finally wake up to the reality like we woke up to the reality years down the line, then we failed. You know? What our kids should wake up to the reality is back, you know, how they used to talk about the medieval times, how things were rough back there, you know, when they did all kinds of crazy stuff in the medieval period, and the disease ran rampant and all that kind of stuff, the Dark Ages, or whatever you want to call it. These times that we're living in right now are the literal Dark Ages that the people in the future are going to look back and say, you know, man, I'm glad I didn't live back during them days, but I'm glad that there were some folks that seen how bad it was and decided to start changing this all around. That's the power of humanity when used properly. We can go around and kill each other every day. That's the easy part.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how many people die in wars and all that, and then you take all those people that just died for, like, you know, in essence, really no reason, you get them over there somewhere, how many houses a day could those thousands of people build? Like, they just little things like that.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the dream deal that I wrote a long time ago and my friend Kent Anderson read out for me?
No, I don't believe I did.
All right, well, I'm going to play this real quick. Listen to these words and tell me what you think. All right? Stay tuned, everybody. I'm going to play this real quick.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
What do you think?
I think it's a very touching speech.
Well, that's from the heart, and that's what should be the world, you know? Come on, man, we have so much. We have been given so much. We have the capabilities to literally create a heaven on earth, a living utopia, so to speak. We have that capability. But there are those in this world who don't care. They seriously don't care. But I believe that that speech is in the heart of every average Joe out there in this world. I believe that the majority of the people on earth agree wholeheartedly with that speech. They just don't think that they can do anything to make things right. You know? But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to make things right in the entire world. You can make things right there at your home, in your neighborhood. Somewhere in your neighborhood is somebody that's doing without. And if you have the resources and the capabilities to actually go to a foreign nation and help those folks out as well, then you should by all means do that. In my own personal beliefs, we are here to be the caretakers, the servants of one another, to take care of each other and to make this world what it could be, to reach our full potential. And it's just not being done. The average Joe is so overwhelmed with the lies and propaganda on the mainstream media, they just lose all hope. And even those who would preach the gospel are angry. They're frustrated. They don't get it. They just don't get it. We were given the power to fix all this stuff. We got the knowledge, I mean the combined knowledge just on the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science Show right there. The combined knowledge from everywhere from Canada to Bulgaria to Spain to Britain and England and all over this world, man. United States. The average Joe is the one who's on these radio networks. The average Joe is the one out there giving out the solutions for alternative energy and alternative medicine and learning the law and such. It's the average Joe doing this. It ain't the government's doing this. It's not the representatives of the world doing this. If you get a politician on my radio show, then I'll tell you what, you will be my hero for life. I don't care what politician, from what country, from what jurisdiction or anything. You get me a Democrat or a Republican onto this doggone deal right here. Somebody who's in a position of power. And let me have a word with them. Let me hear that. Let them hear that speech and see if the oath that they took has anything to do with that speech. Why? Why they are in that position of power and nothing has changed? Because they're working within the system of the beast, and they don't and they won't and they can't step out of line, otherwise they get mocked. We're not under that system. We're under the people's system. We can do things. We still have freedom to some extent until we blow it all away. So we, the people, instead of feeding that beast, need to get up and feed our neighbors. You see where I'm coming from?
Oh, yes, I hear you. It comes down to, like, let's say, like, you know, or the one country can pull itself together and accomplish something great. Well, you know, we really haven't seen nothing in this world happen for quite a few years now. And, you know, just imagine, like that speech says, if this whole world would come together, well, what would happen there?
It would be beautiful, man. You know, I give this example out. I've got family members who have passed away, you know. And most of the family kind of scattered out through all different places of the country and some in different states or whatever. And they don't really talk to themselves, each other very often, or get together for picnics like they used to do back in the day when Grandma and Grandpa were still alive. And it always takes a tragedy to bring that family together. What my biggest concern is, if it takes a tragedy to bring this world together, such as World War III, and we come climbing out of the dust of the apocalypse, and we realize that we can't never do that again, why shouldn't we have seen them signs before they got here? Why didn't we avert the apocalypse before it ever even showed up? Because we have the capability. Right now, all nations have the capability to not go down the path of the apocalypse. We have the capability to bring all living creatures on this earth together and live in harmony with nature so that everyone's happy, except the greedy man. And the greedy man, after a while, sitting out there alone by himself because nobody's giving him money and paying him any never mind, is eventually going to get hungry, and he'll come over and sit down at the table, and we'll feed him as well. You know, that's where it has to go. Otherwise, we go down to the path of sure destruction. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no conspiracy behind that. You think about it for a second. On the road that we are on as humanity, something's got to give. There's going to be a war somewhere. Somebody don't agree with somebody's political views. Somebody don't agree with somebody's religious views. And so eventually they're going to get mad. Somebody going to do something to somebody. It's all going to blow up. We're going to get in World War III. In the meantime, while we're waiting for the apocalypse to show up, there are individuals on this planet already living in their own version of the apocalypse, because they're riddled with disease. They're riddled with hunger, starvation, and the whole world out there living high on the hog while they're heading down the road to the sure destruction of all humanity are ignoring them altogether, and they're dying. We've got our brothers and sisters in this world that are dying while we are setting ourselves on the path to kill ourselves. Where is the common sense in that mess? You see where I'm coming from?
I see, and I just can't understand the world today.
Well, brother, don't give up hope, because what you're doing right now, coming on here and voicing this, that's the power of the spoken word. We're going to touch an ear. We're going to touch a heart. And maybe that ear, that heart, will open the mouth and open that heart up to somebody else and spread this on. It's kind of the pay it forward, the positive pebble in the pond. If we sit on here every single day without fail, and we continue to throw out negativity after negativity after negativity with very little solutions, if any at all, all we're going to do is depress the rest of the entire world because all hope is lost and there is no possibility. And I'm standing here shouting on my version of the top of the mountain, and I'm saying to the world that you, the individual, just by opening your mouth on this radio show, the Knights of the Round Table, are sending positive waves into this world that can and will make a difference. And so what we need to do is get everyone else out there shouting the same thing. You know, like when you go to a concert or whatever, you know, it only takes one person to stand up and start clapping, you know, hey, bravo, bravo, and everybody else follows right in, bravo, bravo, yeah, yeah, you know. So we need to get the people out there to clapping. We need to get the people out there opening their hearts, opening their minds, and if they can do it, open your wallet to some needy brother or sister around the world. Buy them a meal. Sing them a song. You know, help a brother or sister out somewhere in some direction, and instead of spewing out all the negativity, we know the beast is corrupt, and we know the dirty deeds, and we know where we're going. But we can either take that ride down that road with the system of the beast, or we can take our own system, and we can start taking care of this world and building that utopia. This is the fork in the road, so to speak. We are literally standing here in a time and place where we are at the fork in the road. Do we take our children down the path of the beast who's going to take away their freedom and poison them and abuse and manipulate their lives and do this to all nations, not just America, not just Africa, not just Mexico, not just Canada, not just Britain or Ireland or Scotland or Russia or China? You look at everything out there that's going on bad in this world, and it has to do with somebody up at the top living high on the hog and telling you, the people, what to do and what not to do. I'm not an anarchist by any sense of the imagination, but what I'm saying to the world out there is, look, if you're going to have a system that proclaims to take care of the people, then put up or shut up. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Don't come up there and stand on the podium and say you're going to save the world if you're going to go out there and bomb it first. Because the ends not justify the means.
Yeah, but do you know the meaning of the word anarchist just means self-governing?
Well, self-government, if that's the whole deal and it works our way into the utopia, okay, give me the anarchist flag and I will lead the pack right into the beast system and tell them we're taking over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is it. You see, the anarchists have hijacked the word, the anarchy, to mean something considerably different than its real meaning. In actual fact, the very fact that we would say we don't need big government, we don't need all this high tax from the IRS in America or the high tax in Europe, we can govern ourselves and we can figure out how to fix our own roads and figure out how to run our own hospitals.
Well, I like that plan above all.
Anarchy, as far as the government would be concerned, it wouldn't really be anarchy in that there'd be chaos. It just simply means that we, the people, would take over the running of many of the functions that the government chooses to do for us and charge us a huge amount of money for doing it.
Then maybe I just found out that I'm a closet anarchist.
Well, I have no illusions. I am an anarchist because I'm quite happy to say that I'm self-governing.
Well, and that's what we all need to be.
You see how the media has been very good at warping the meaning of the word. So if I go out there and say to people, well, I'm an anarchist, people assume that I'm running out there with a black flag and I'm looking for chaos and everything. I'm not. I'm looking for that we, the people, get together and we will run the system and we'll reduce government down to the bare bloody minimum.
Do you remember that guy in China that stood out there in front of the military tanks and was holding his hand up and trying to stop the army from going in to hurt people?
He didn't succeed, we don't think.
Well, I'm sure he didn't, but that guy right there, he's got my vote because he put himself out there, man. He wanted peace.
Yeah.
He wanted peace. That's all he wanted. Stop the ignorance. You know, the government wouldn't be so bad if they would keep their word, but ask the Indians how well the government kept their word. And then in the coming down,
that's the Native American.
They got switched around. It got switched around from, the government breaking their word as to the white man's a bad man, or the black man's a bad man, or the yellow man's a bad man, you know, or this particular religion is bad, you know. It came down to where the heat was took off of their backs, the ones who were in charge, who should have been taking care of keeping their word to the Indians, they didn't. And the average Joe stood idly by and allowed the government to break their word. We have to hold the governments of this world accountable for their actions if they are not going to keep their word. If they tell the veterans that they're going to get medical care when the veterans come back, then they need to keep that word. You know, my best deal is we don't go to war to begin with.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good idea. Not going to war is a very good idea. But, no, the thing is, I try to explain to people that if you want to know the future of something, you look at the past.
Yep.
And so I say that, I'm not picking on the average Joe American who is innocent of everything, but if you look at the American history, it has exterminated 14 million natives, American people, by putting them into camps and various other things.
But and look, brother, and that's not just America. That was in China, that was in Russia, that was in Germany, that was all over this world. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's a worldwide disease.
It's a worldwide problem, but for Americans to understand it, they would think it can't happen in America. And I would say, no, it's hardwired into the system.
Yeah,
it has been there since the birth of America. Exterminate large chunks of the population when they didn't suit some agenda.
But once again,
and they killed 7 million people in the you remember the 1930s depression.
Yeah, but once again, it wasn't the average Joe; it was the system. You know,
yeah, it was like, the system.
Like,
but I mean, they exterminated 7 million Americans in the 1930s depression. Who died by the roadside, but history was written by, as they always say, by the victors, and so they made damn sure that you'll never learn that in school in America, that 7 million died in the Depression.
Well,
you won't learn that 14 million died in federal USA camps.
It's the average Joe out there who has to stand up and do something. You know, I am not talking about take up arms against the government, because that's a waste of time. That's a waste of time to go out there and stand there and protest the government. You know, going out there, standing there, holding up a sign in your no protest zone that, you know, you're supposed to have the freedom of speech to protest against your government over here, but you have to go in a certain area, way away from the government area because of safety concerns or whatever. That is a total, complete waste of time. If you want to save the whales, if you want to save the whales, then do like Paul Watson and his crew and go out there, get you a ship and go out there and do it. You know, just do it. If you want to fix somebody, if you want to build somebody a house, then do it. You ain't going to get no license like Dublin said from the government. The government's got enough regulations to make sure you can't even feed the homeless without going to jail or paying a fine. Because you didn't pay for your food handler's permit. You might be giving them bad food. Really? I'll come over to a brother and sister's house and have food with them, and they don't throw my brother and sister in jail because I had dinner with them at the house. So what's the difference?
Well, actually, they're bringing in regulations like that where they will look at the, the smart meters, and they'll say, well, hang on a second, there was four people eating in that house, and that house is only designed for two people to live in, or that apartment.
Well,
so
then
they fine you for exceeding the allocated quota of resources.
Then if the people,
well, yeah, I mean,
then if the people,
they even raid the apartments and say, "Oh, we found 4 toothbrushes." Obviously, you're keeping people, more people in the house than
if the people allow
the amount.
If the people allow it, then it will be. That's it. It's as simple as that. If your nation allows your government to run roughshod over you and be nanny, and you ain't sending them your phone bill and your light bill and your water bill and all your heating bills and food bills, whatever, if you're not sending them all your bills right there and they're being your nanny, then you just ain't very bright. Because if they're going to take all the power for you to be self-governing in your own home away from you, then they need to pay the bills. They need to take care of things. They need to make sure that whenever your child needs something, like a new pair of shoes, it comes out of their wallet, not yours. Oh!
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, they don't want to spend, they want to spend more money on the military hardware. They don't want to spend it on your kid's shoes. That's that much I can tell you.
Yeah, they'll buy boots for the army guys. They'll buy guns and ammunition. I mean, top of the line ammunition, top of the line guns, top of the line bombs and bombers and helicopters and all that to go over there and literally mop an already struggling nation into worse than a third world status, taking away families and killing babies and all that kind of stuff. But will they put a pair of shoes on your child? Will they put the truth in your child's head? No, they're going to indoctrinate your children so your children doesn't question what should already be common sense, that what they're doing is absolutely by no means right. It's wrong, and we all know it. That's why we're here talking.
Exactly. Well, that's why I keep telling everybody, part of your strategy for survival is make sure you get hold of big old cars, you know, like the ones from the 70s and the 80s with
yep.
no electronic ignitions, because part of the policy might be to set off an EMP.
Learn how.
The only cars that will operate after that will be non-electronic cars.
Learn how to repurpose
things. All modern cars will have all their electronics fried and they won't be able to work.
Yep. Learn how to repurpose things, because believe me, brothers and sisters of the world, though we sit here and we try to talk about solutions, we don't know how many people are actually getting off the couch and using these ideas that we're talking about. And if we keep riding the government all the way down, if we keep staying on this train track that we're on, there will come a time in our nation and in your nation to where you reach third world status, to where you will have to learn how to repurpose or die. It's as simple as that. You know, it's not conspiracy, it's not fear-mongering, it's common sense. When World War III gets here and the power grid goes down, if you don't know how to make electricity, you do without. If you don't know how to garden, you do without. If you don't know how to filter water, you do without. And if you do without, you die. And that's as simple as that. It's not fear-mongering, it's common sense. Learn what you can from these networks. Build your own network. Start your own radio show. Get on Shaziz Radio or Wake Radio or No Borders or Shake and Wake or TCT or 1800 Online. Get on one of these networks and start talking it to the world. Start shouting it from your side of the mountain so that all ears hear what it is that we're trying to say. We are heading down the path to sure, without, beyond a shadow of a doubt, sure destruction. We're polluting our waterways, we're polluting our oceans, we're killing off the wildlife, we're chasing away the bees, we're poisoning our children, we're killing each other via wars and all this kind of crazy stuff going on in the world. And the only one who have the God-given rights and the gifts and the talents to do anything about it to stop this deal are the masses of good individuals such as you and I. Get off your couch. Feed your neighbor. It's as simple as that, and you make the world a better place. We're down to the last 5 minutes, and so this is the time where we got to go around and let everybody have their say. And boy, I'll tell you, I'm winded. I get riled up. I apologize, everybody. But like I said, man, the only one who can fix this is you, you know, and me. We got Thomas can fix it. We got Dublin can fix it. You know, we got to point out the bad, but we got to get out there and we got to get you motivated so that you can point out the bad and you can point out the solutions. We can do this all together. Join the Knights of the Round Table. Become one of the Honorable Knights of the Round Table. Become an honorary Knight of the Round Table and just get in that chat room and talk to people. Share links and ideas and information and do this fast, as furious, as hard as possible to all these networks. Get in these chat rooms. Flood these chat rooms to the point where these chat rooms have to build more chat rooms just to fit all of we the people in there to share all these ideas. Fix something in your neighborhood. I'll fix something in my neighborhood.
If you're not mad, you don't understand the problem.
Exactly.
First, gotta get mad.
Well, Devlin, I'm going to give you a say, and then whoever else is left in here, and then we got to get on out of here so we can give the airways over to somebody else who's just as passionate as us. So go ahead, brother.
Just basically that. If you're not mad, you don't understand the problem. But first, you got to get mad. You got to get angry. So who the hell are these governments that are making our lives difficult?
Like that soundtrack. Go to the window and shout, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Exactly. Anyway, look, great show. See you next week.
All right, peace and love, brother. Tom, what you got?
You pretty much covered everything there. I really hope, but I think that's just kind of wishing in one hand and, you know what else in the other hand, that this world actually doesn't go down that course, but it's pretty much already rolling down the hill.
Well, we can stop it. We can stop it if we can get every voice out there to raise their voices up like we're raising our voices up, and we can make a difference in this world. That's the only opportunity we got. You know, we can't individually go out there and save the entire world, but we can individually save our local communities and one another and our families. Bring morality and goodness and love back into this world. That's the dream, brother. That's what it was all about. So with that said, thanks to everybody. Thanks, Tom, for hosting the call for the Knights on there. And Mitko, if you're out there listening, brother, we love you to pieces. We'll talk to y'all later. Thanks again, Muddy. He's probably snoozing right now. But everybody take care. I don't know what shows up right now, but you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Pass this podcast around to people. All right? Pass the links around. Let people hear what we're talking about. And bring these people to become one of the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Take care.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system!
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots when we're able. We do routine to call the scenes with footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more. Table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. No, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible. Always routine to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.